Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
The source of the coronavirus that has left more than 3 million people dead worldwide is still a mystery. In recent months, the idea that it came from the Wuhan Institute, which was once dismissed as conspiracy theory, has gained some credence. And earlier I spoke to Ian Lipkin, the director of the Columbia Center for Infection and Immunity in New York, and I first asked him about our earliest awareness of coronavirus.
We first became aware that there was an outbreak of respiratory disease in the middle of December of 2019. The agent itself was identified at the very end of 2019, likely sometime either the third or the fourth week of December. We knew that based on genetic analysis of the virus and what was circulating in the Wuhan Institute of Virology and elsewhere, that it was highly unlikely that this virus could have been deliberately produced, engineered. It's also true, however, that we could not exclude and haven't excluded the possibility that it might have been carried into Wuhan by somebody. But I think it's very important for your listeners to understand that there is no evidence to suggest that anything was deliberately done. It may have been completely inadvertent. And I can reassure you that based on my knowledge of the people who work in this laboratory, there is no history whatsoever of any sort of deliberate malfeasance. And this is, if it happened, it would have been accidental, would have been inadvertent.
Okay. So this is, the laboratory you're talking about is the Wuhan laboratory, which is very close, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It's very close geographically to where the first cases of coronavirus were found. And in that laboratory, they were doing experiments and research into coronaviruses.
That is correct. So I think the reason that people are concerned is that this laboratory has a history of collecting samples from bats all over China and possibly outside of China as well, bringing them back to that laboratory, growing them, studying them, and trying to understand how they cause disease. So it's important that in the event that we do find that there's some sort of a link, and I don't know that we ever will, that we not throw out all of this research, because without that, we will be defenseless against these viruses.
And of course, it wouldn't be the first time that viruses have leaked from laboratories, would it? Because I believe the last known death from smallpox was the result of a laboratory leak in Britain. And the H1N1 strain of influenza, that started spreading around the world in 1977, and it's now known to have been released from a Northeast Asian lab, possibly in China. And again, all of this, as far as we know, accidental as opposed to deliberate, but coming from laboratories nonetheless.
What you're saying is accurate. These are events that have historically occurred.
So in terms then of where we're at with the evidence, Ian, as to where this virus would have come from, as I said, over the reign of President Donald Trump, when he brought it up, this was widely dismissed by people, that this was the China virus or a virus that would have come from a laboratory in China. But now Joe Biden, the president, has asked his officials to look again. Is there new evidence suggesting maybe it had come from the laboratory? Or is there a political reason for this? Or why do you think we're looking at this again?
So I think there are a few issues here. First, I want to disentangle Joe Biden and Donald Trump, very different leaders. Trump was accusing the Chinese government of deliberately releasing this virus, which is not something that Joe Biden has done. What Biden has said is that we still don't understand the origin of this virus, and it's important for risk reduction to ensure that this doesn't recur, that we understand the basis for the release of this virus, either from nature or from a laboratory. Now, as the pandemic is coming under control, people have begun to shift their emphasis, their focus, their investments away from pushing forward with some of the mitigation efforts like vaccines to thinking about where this virus came from. It's important to realize, at least in the United States, which is where this particular letter that galvanized this movement originated, is that we've only really begun to come back into some state of normalcy where we're thinking about things other than just trying to keep, you know, a lid on this awful pandemic. So this is really, I would think of it as a post-mortem. It's not that there are new data that have emerged. It's just that people now have the opportunity to think more clearly about what we're going to do to prevent a recurrence.
And in a letter to the Science Journal, a group of 18 prominent scientists this month have said that both theories, the theory of it having come naturally from animals or the theory of it having come accidentally or otherwise from a laboratory, both are viable and should be taken seriously. Do you have a view either way at this point, and where you would land? Where's the balance lie on that one?
Well, the other thing I want to emphasize, and I'll come to a specific answer to question in a moment, is that these are not mutually exclusive. So we're not saying that the virus didn't come from an animal, even if we're talking about some sort of an inadvertent release from a laboratory. Now, what people have talked about, if you want to call it new evidence, and I don't know that I would think of it as such, is that there's a description of a few people in this laboratory who became ill before the onset of the outbreak in Wuhan. As you know, many people, perhaps most people who have this particular viral infection are asymptomatic or have very mild disease. So these individuals were truly ill. It may not even have been the same thing. It may have been something completely unrelated. Of course, they are working with respiratory pathogens on a routine basis. It's just as likely that somebody brought in this virus. It was sitting in bat feces, which is the way these are collected. And in the process of trying to grow this virus, they may have inadvertently amplified the presence of this virus in these samples. We have no direct data on this point. This is purely speculative. And the other thing that I think is important to emphasize is that even if we go back at this point and try to identify evidence of infection, it's going to be very, very difficult to do. The only way we could be certain would be if we were to screen everything present within that laboratory and find evidence, genetic evidence, that this agent was present. Those samples may not exist. It doesn't mean they were destroyed deliberately. It simply means they may not even no longer be present, or they may not be viable for some of the assays that we have to test for them. The alternative is to test antibodies and see whether or not there's a point at which we have the new appearance of antibodies directed against this virus. The problem in doing this retrospectively is that people may have become infected with the virus subsequent to, you know, when this event might have occurred. And we won't know whether or not they were infected with SARS-CoV-2 in the community or SARS-CoV-2 in the laboratory.
Okay.
Furthermore, some of these people may have been positive because they were exposed to SARS-CoV-1 back in 2003 or 2002. And lastly, of course, it's unlikely that they have surveillance of blood from these people on a regular basis that would allow us to ask the question of when were they negative and when did they become positive. So although my president is talking about sorting this out in 90 days, I don't know that we're ever going to know the origin of this virus for sure, except to say, based on precedent that we know from other types of infections, this virus almost certainly arose in a bat and probably passed through another animal before it went to humans. So I think that one cannot exclude the possibility of a laboratory accident. And it's very important, as I say, that if we cannot sort this out, or even if we can, that in the future, we take measures to ensure that we don't have problems like this arising again.
And that was Ian Lipkin, the director of the Columbia Center for Infection and Immunity in New York.